This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Aid piles up at the Egyptian border. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. The World Health Organization says that in Gaza, people are dying because they don't have enough water and medical help. The WHO wants a safe passage to get aid in there. This has become more pressing in the wake of an explosion at a hospital in Gaza, which reportedly killed hundreds of people. There's a lot of aid waiting at the border with Egypt, where the crossing is closed. Egypt says this is for security reasons. Rick Brennan is the Regional Emergency Director for the WHO. He's speaking from Cairo.
So we have 20 metric tons of medical supplies, trauma kits, emergency health kits, drugs for the treatment of chronic diseases, orthopedic material, enough drugs to meet the basic needs of around 300,000 people for the next month. Also, enough trauma equipment to meet the needs of over 200 trauma patients. And then others have, other agencies like UNICEF and the World Food Programme also have food and water ready to go as well. All of us are working through the Egyptian Red Crescent. At the border crossing, then they will hand over to the Palestinian Red Crescent. So it's not the UN that's physically up there. We'd love to be up there, but this is the directives of the Egyptian authorities.
President Biden, who's now arrived in Israel, and other world leaders have called on Egypt to open the border crossing with Gaza to help the situation. But what happens once it's across the border?
We need secure corridors throughout Gaza so the supplies can get to the hospitals, can get to the clinics, can get to the people who need it. We've heard that there are discussions of a plan. I mean, the aid is urgently needed. We can't wait another minute. People are dying unnecessarily. In the process of developing a mechanism to transport the supplies in, we do need guarantees, security guarantees, that those aid convoys and the aid delivery will be protected.
Mr. Brennan says he's frustrated due to the urgency of the situation on the ground.
The suffering's enormous. You think of what's going on in Gaza right now. You know, we've had over 3,000 deaths. We've had over 11,000 injuries. We've got major disruption to healthcare. You have doctors and nurses who are physically and emotionally exhausted, working around the clock. We've got food and water running out, and yet no one's letting us bring the aid in.
So will President Biden's visit change anything?
If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But it's a shame that our common humanity doesn't lead to the decision makers doing the right thing by innocent women and children and civilians without the pressure from the most powerful people on the planet.
That was Rick Brennan, Regional Emergency Director for the World Health Organization. Now, let's do the numbers. The price of gold has risen to a four-week high as the Israel-Hamas conflict drives demand for safe haven assets. Oil prices also jumped to a two-week high because of concerns over the Middle East. Meanwhile, China's economy grew 4.9% in the third quarter, better than expected. And price rises in the UK are holding steady at 6.7% in September. That's likely to put pressure on the Bank of England to do what it can to stop prices rising. Now, if you live in New Zealand or the Philippines and you want to sign up to X, formerly Twitter, you'll now have to pay $1 a year to tweet, retweet or reply to posts. The BBC's Suranjana Tiwari told me more.
It's kind of a sandbox for what Elon Musk, the man who owns X, has been talking about for a long time. He's been saying that although Twitter has a lot of benefits, it needs to make money. And this seems to be the first step towards him perhaps achieving that.
And one of the things that he said is that it would stop spam and bots. How exactly would that work?
It's not really clear how this will change anything, but I suppose if people are having to sign up and pay for Twitter or X, rather, they will have to sign some sort of contract or accept terms of agreement. And that way, he may be able to sort of dilute out the bots. And of course, the bots were something that he almost, one of the reasons he almost didn't buy Twitter at the time, because he said there's no way of tracking these supposed bots.
Saranjana Tiwari, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
China's Belt and Road Initiative is all about lending a lot of money to countries for infrastructure projects. It helped Kenya build a big railway, but suddenly funding stopped and it's not finished. Now, Kenya's transport secretary has told the BBC he plans to use a major event in Beijing this week, marking a decade of the Belt and Road, to seek extra finances. The BBC's senior Africa correspondent Anne Soy has more.
The train from the coastal city of Mombasa is here. I'm at the main station in Nairobi, watching as dozens of passengers disembark. This train service has been operating for a couple of years now on the complete section connecting Kenya's two main cities. How was your trip?
It was great. I loved it. The friendliness of the crew.
Would you say it was a worthwhile investment?
It was great. It's great. Let us sacrifice to pay the debt.
It cost $5 billion to build one of Kenya's biggest projects since independence.
As a railway, we are now able to meet its own operations.
Okay. Transport Cabinet Secretary Kipchumba Murkomen told me that the government is exploring ways of raising money to complete the remaining half of the railway to the border with Uganda.
The idea here is to make sure that the burden is not heavier than we already have at the moment.
The Chinese government pulled out of funding the remaining section 6 years ago.
The funding levels in the past couple of years have not been more than $2 billion across the whole of the continent, whereas in years past, the funding levels were between $10 to $20 billion.
That's Nigeria's former Deputy Central Bank Governor, Kingsley Mogalu. He reckons internal pressures in China have played a role in the slowdown. And whilst the Belt and Road Initiative has had some impact on Africa's infrastructure, the progress and outcomes have been mixed.
Unsustainable debt burdens have been created because of many of these projects. And also, some of the projects are not economically viable. We know that in some African countries, political and governance weaknesses, including corruption, have undermined the implementation of BRI projects.
That was the BBC's senior Africa correspondent, Anne Soy, with that report. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was James Graham. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And of course, if you want to have a listen back, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.